Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And we do want to thank you for joining us tonight on this Easter Sunday night. As we commemorate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're just joining us here this evening, I want to encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Hopefully in the next couple of days, I will get the last hour uploaded. We were talking about the use of the word Easter. I'm not going to go through the whole thing here in this hour, but if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find a link to an article that I wrote on the subject, Is Easter a Mistake? And let me tell you, if you got a King James Bible, the word Easter is there in Acts 12, verse number 4, and it's there for a very good reason. And just to let you know, it was to distinguish the celebration of the resurrection of Christ from the Jewish Passover. And I don't have time to go into all that right now, but check out the article, Is Easter a Mistake? You can find it at livewithpastoral.com. Hopefully in the next few days we'll get that loaded and you can listen to it as well. I do have an earlier program there defending Easter in Acts chapter 12, verse 4 as well, where I go through some of that from a biblical and historical position as well. So you can listen to that one right now. That's available all at livewithpastoral.com. And then, of course, while you're there, you can find some other articles. I have another article there, What Day Was Jesus Crucified On? And then we have a most recent article I've written about Easter, and that's The Stone Was Rolled Away Not to Let Jesus Out, But to Let Us In. And hopefully those will be a blessing to you. We'll be talking about some of those things on tonight's program. Of course, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And, of course, I hope you'll be able to stick with us all the way up through midnight tonight. All right, let's get into a couple of things here. We've got a couple of callers already waiting for us, and we'll go with Terry since he's been waiting for a while here to join us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, and good to hear from you tonight. So,
well, thanks. It's a small world because I've been studying all this. I've been going through the Torah, and I've been studying Leviticus, and I just happened to be on Leviticus chapter 23.
Right, where it gives the seven Levitical feasts, starting with Passover, yeah. Of course. And
yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting that I ended up reading this tonight, on the day that you're going to talk about all this, eh?
And you know what is interesting when you mention the Leviticus 23 there, it puts an interesting spin on what Jesus did, because
right.
If you recall, and our listeners recall, at Christmas time we were talking about when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and the significance of him being born in a stable and laid in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, it was because the shepherds that were watching their flocks in the field by night, they weren't just any shepherds. They were Levitical priest shepherds who were overseeing the birth of lambs that could be considered acceptable as a Passover sacrifice, and for other sacrifices, of course. But the way that they certified that the lamb was acceptable, when the lamb was born, they would examine it. So it's born inside essentially a stable. Tower of Migdol is the area that they were born in. And it was about an hour's walk from Bethlehem, I think, if I remember correctly. And they would examine the lamb, and if it was without blemish, and so it would be a sacrificial lamb, they would wrap a cloth around it and essentially lay it in a manger to keep it from being injured or getting mixed up with the others. So when they went to Bethlehem, and they saw the baby Jesus laying in the same condition as the Passover lambs were, they understood the significance. That's why it's such a great sign. And then Jesus, when he died on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he died on the cross as our Passover lamb. At the same time, people were killing the Passover lambs for the Passover celebration that would start after the sunset, which would have been 6 o'clock by their time. They went by the position of the sun, not by the positions of hands on a clock, because they didn't have clocks. So they went by simply the sun. And so that makes Jesus a fulfillment of the Passover, the first of the seven Levitical feasts, and the first, the one that begins the calendar. And then the second Levitical feast was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which starts on the 15th of the month, the 14th being the full moon and the celebration of the Passover. The 15th began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then, as we were talking, the weekly Sabbath that would occur after the Passover Sabbath, which, as John pointed out, there were two Sabbaths that week, the high Sabbath, which the high day, which was the Passover Sabbath, and then the weekly Sabbath. And so the first fruit celebration took place on the first day of the week following, I put it this way, it took place on the first day of the week that followed the Sabbath that occurred after the Passover. And so the Passover would have occurred, and then that would be the high Sabbath, the high day that John talks about, and that's before Jesus was crucified, or Jesus was crucified before that. And then the weekly Sabbath took place, and then on the first day of the week after that weekly Sabbath, then you had first fruits, and Jesus rose again in fulfillment of the Feast of First Fruits, because he was the first fruits of the resurrection. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost, fulfilling Pentecost.
The lamb was actually that was slaughtered and put on the doorpost was actually symbolic of Jesus.
Yes, and it's his blood that's on the doorpost of our heart, and if the blood of Christ is applied to your heart, when you put your faith in Christ, the blood of Christ is applied to your heart, and sin, the wages of sin, which is death, passes over the person that has the blood of Christ applied to their heart. So
let's read here. It says each person's body, so that eternal death that awaits every human ever born, mm-hmm. would pass over those who trust Jehovah or God,
yeah.
Lamb, and the Lamb was and is Jesus.
Well, and over in Revelation chapter 4, I think it is, when they have the seven-sealed book in heaven, and John's wanting to know who can open it. Remember, it says the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and then he looks and he sees what? A lamb that had been slain.
Slain from and, the foundation.
Yeah, from the foundation of the earth, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing. He's our Passover lamb. And of course, he embodies the idea of the unleavened bread, because unleavened bread was untouched with leaven, and leaven's a type of sin. His body was untouched by sin. And then he was the first fruits of the firstborn of the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead. And so he is the first fruits. And then, of course, you know, the Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost. And that's what leads a lot of people to believe that when Jesus returns for the believers, it might be tied to the celebration of the Feast of Trumpets. And of course, then in his second coming, then he'll fulfill not only the Feast of Trumpets, but also the final two Levitical feasts, which would be the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's exciting to think about it, and it is interesting. Jesus has built, you know, we see the first four fulfilled exactly and exactly at the right timing. So it would stand to reason that the second three, the last three, would be as well in the proper order and at that time of the year. So I don't know that Jesus is going to return on the day of the Feast of Trumpets or not. It makes it interesting to speculate.
Yeah, and then the 11 is if you put for leaven in it, the unleavened bread, and put leaven in it, it becomes fermented.
Right, right.
And what causes alcohol?
Well, it causes alcohol and carbon dioxide to be produced, and that's what causes the bread to rise. And that's why if you drive by a bread factory when they're baking bread, it smells the same as when you pass by a brewery when they're brewing beer, because it's the same thing. It's producing alcohol and carbon dioxide. In the bread dough, the alcohol's burned off, so you're not going to get drunk eating a loaf of bread. But you do smell, you know, the carbon dioxide and other chemicals that are given off in the gas as they're baking. But leaven, you know, Jesus said, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees." And leaven was likened to a picture of sin. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. A little sin in your life eventually will spread and multiply through your life. And a little sin tolerated in a church eventually will spread and multiply in the church, just like a little leaven in a lump of dough will spread and multiply in the lump.
Yeah, so if the Lord returns for the church and we don't have that blood on our doorpost,
right,
then we'll be left behind.
Right,
we'll be left
right.
behind. The unbelievers
yeah.
will be
yeah.
left behind.
But
today's the day of salvation.
Exactly. That's why we encourage people, if you believe that the gospel message is true and you haven't put your faith in Christ, now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Don't wait for tomorrow. You don't know that you have tomorrow. We believe that we'll have tomorrow. We make plans for tomorrow, but none of us know for sure that we'll have tomorrow. We don't know. So that's why it's better to make sure when you know the truth, you put your faith in Christ. Today's the day of salvation.
He says he'll come at a time when people will think not.
Well, and we see a lot of that too, because there's a lot of Christians today who don't believe in the second, at least in the rapture, taking place anytime soon. They think we're going to go through the tribulation, but yet Jesus, or the Bible says, not Jesus, but I think it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're not appointed under wrath. And the time of the tribulation is a time of the wrath of God. So there's no reason for us to go through that.
There's just a great apostasy, too, that I think is in this world today.
Right, right. And a great falling away that occurs. And also Jesus said it'd be like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, rampant lawlessness, violence, and such in the earth. And also another thing that a lot of people miss with the sons of God, you know, having this interaction with the daughters of men and producing giants. I believe it was an effort to pollute the gene pool of the human race, and partly because the devil was trying to make the human race impure so that the Messiah couldn't be born, but also he just wanted to mess up what God had created. And we see with everything from the transgenderism that's going on today to transhumanism, the desire to change, alter, and enhance human beings genetically and technologically, it's an alteration of what it means fundamentally to be human. And so we're in the times of Noah, that Jesus said that we would be in before he comes, and also in the days of Lot, which was marked by rampant sexual immorality. And there's just no way you can get around that and say that we're not in those days.
Well, the hockey players, and I know you don't watch hockey much or watch sports, but they're even promoting homosexuality.
Yeah, I did see that there was one player who got reviled because he refused to wear a jersey or something celebrating
it. Yeah, his name, it was Reimer. His name was, he was a goalie, but yeah, that's pretty sad. But he wasn't doing it, and he got ridiculed for that. I get,
yeah.
Anyway, I won't go into that too much. But it's pretty sad though.
Yeah, but you know, when we look at it, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is what gives us what we need to continue on. To be able to continue to stay in the battle. Paul said in the last days, perilous times would come. He said that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's why one of the reasons we do this program, we want people to get into the Bible and see what the Bible actually says, rather than what they think it says.
Yeah, this is what the problem that Israel had. Israel kept on accepting people into their fold, right?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't supposed to be in their fold.
Well, and that's part of it. Yeah, they didn't separate.
Heaven, right?
Yeah, they didn't separate from the the world around them. And remember, that was the gainsaying, the error of Balaam. Remember back in, I believe it was Numbers, where Balaam was hired to curse Israel, and he couldn't do it. God kept making him bless Israel. And so apparently after the fact, he gave advice to Balak to go and encourage his people to intermingle and send their daughters to marry the men of Israel and try and blend in with them. And of course, God brought judgment on them as a result of that. So,
I think you're seeing having the same problem we're having down here. I don't know if I should mention this over the air, but it seems like they're just accepting everybody into our country. And
well,
what they're doing by doing this is they're bringing all these false religions.
Well, and like in America, there's a certain thing that it means to be an American, just like in Canada where you're at, certain things that it historically meant to be a Canadian, because Canadian and American are not an ethnic group or racial group. It's more of a concept. It's more of an idea. You can be an American or a Canadian no matter what your ethnicity is. It's the ideas, it's the concepts, the ideals of our respective countries that make you a Canadian or make you an American, in terms of inside. But when you're bringing people in that don't want to conform to those ideals, you are ruining the very ideals that set your country apart from another country, aren't you?
Yeah, and plus they let them do what they want.
And that's okay. That's a picture of what's happening in churches. Churches are bringing people into the churches that are bringing the world in with them and diluting the churches and blunting their message so that there's no longer a distinction between the church and the world. And then the church, of course, is now no longer doing what it's called to do, which is represent Christ.
That's the leaven. You let a little leaven in before you know it, the whole leaven becomes one big lump.
Right. That's the reason the Bible talks about separating from unbelievers and trying to conform to the image of Christ rather than to the world.
Right.
So.
And it's all part of what, sad to say that. Well, I mean, the Lord said this is all going to happen before it returns. So.
Well, exactly. We know it's a sign of the times, but at the same time, it's still incumbent upon us as believers, those of us who understand what the Bible has to say, to give voice to this and encourage people to remain true to God, to follow the Word of God, and to be the witness that God's called us to be salt and light in the world while God has us here, because we were put here at this time for this time. And that's why we're here.
And that's why there's churches that approve that homosexuality is okay.
Yeah.
And they approve it, and they even allow it to happen. They even make pastors that are homosexuals.
Well, they just had a so-called church. It was a United Church of Christ, or as like some people like to call it, the United Church of the Antichrist, that had a drag queen story hour just recently here in northeastern Ohio. They're trying to pretend that it was this great event that Jesus would be proud to attend. And Jesus would not be proud to attend it. He'd be overturning the tables like he did on the Temple Mount when he entered there just after the Palm Sunday. And he turned over and said he'd made it a den of thieves when it was supposed to be a house of worship. But, hey, Terry, I've got another, I lost my other caller. I was just getting ready to go to the other caller, and they just dropped off. if you had just been on there holding, call back. I was just getting ready to go to the other caller. I think it was Jim. So hopefully Jim will call back here. I was just getting ready to let you know we had another caller when he dropped off. He's not there. Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was back, but no, he's not back yet. So hopefully, Jim, if you're out there, please give us a call as you get ready to take your call there. But Terry, I mean, when we look at this, this is when we have to, like I said, be conformed to the image of Christ rather than the image of the world. Kind of lost my train of thought there. We were just kind of looking at the clock and the callers there. So hopefully that's him calling back. We'll get him on the air here. But Terry, I want to thank you for calling. and bring some of these things up, because we need to remember these things. We need to strive to do what we can. But thank you, Terry, for the call. And Jim is waiting. Jim, thank you for calling back. I just looked up to take your call, and it disappeared. So thank you for calling back, Jim.
No worries, Pastor Ralph.
Thank you, and God bless. Welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you. I've been listening to you for around 5 years. Recently, this last January, and January 4th, I got downsized from my job.
Mm.
And then January 26th, my father passed away, and I was his sole caregiver. And I'm having a really, really tough time. Happy Easter to you, by the way. I'm Greek Orthodox, so my Easter
thank you.
Is
yeah,
coming
next
up
week.
This next weekend.
Yeah.
I'm in a quandary. The Orthodox Church isn't great with dealing with this. I've talked to my priest a lot about it, and he just isn't sure how to handle this. And I'm just trying to find answers. I'm just trying to find guidance. I don't know what to do.
All right. It is difficult when we see these things that are happening in the world around us. And as far as guidance goes, I mean, the first thing that I see as the most important thing is we need to know, our relationship with God is correct. Because, we know we all have a sin nature, we all have a problem with sin, and we know that Christ, whether you celebrate Easter on the Orthodox calendar or the otherwise, we know that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, and that he rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And so when we understand that, and we know that we have to put our faith in Christ, because Christ and Christ alone is able to save us from our sin, not our church, not our pastor, not our priest, not anybody but Christ. When we know that our salvation is secure, that's number one. And the reason that that's number one is because the Bible tells us that when we put our faith in Christ, the Spirit of God indwells us, and now we're not going through this life alone. And of course, it's a time of growth and everything, walking with the Lord and learning to sense his leading and his direction. But we know that we're not alone, because, the Bible says that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We're sealed until the day of redemption with the Spirit of God. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we have the ability to go to him in prayer. And when we have things, that we can't quite voice and quite express fully, the Bible says the Spirit of God intercedes with groanings that cannot be uttered. And that means that he can take the burden of our heart directly before God, and God understands what we're going through and can communicate with us. He may communicate with us as we read the scripture. I remember my grandmother one time, she was a godly woman, and she said one time she had something that was going on in her life. I don't know what it was. I don't know that she even told me exactly what it was, but she said she was so overwhelmed, and she had no one to talk to, and she used to have a Bible sitting in her bathroom, and she said she was cleaning in the bathroom, and she just felt so overwhelmed that she just didn't know what to do. She said she sat down on the edge of the tub. Now, the edge of the tub is not necessarily the most comfortable place to sit for a long period of time, but
correct.
She said, I sat down on the edge of the tub, picked up the Bible, and she started with Psalm 1, and she just spent the rest of the evening, she said she spent all night in the bathroom sitting on the edge of the tub reading the Psalms and praying and weeping before God. And she said she underlined every promise that she found in the Psalm. And just anything that sort of leaped out at her as a promise. She said she didn't sleep at all that night, but she felt so much better the next morning because she had spent a night with God in prayer and Bible reading, and God had encouraged her in a way that no person probably ever could. And it's hard for an unsaved person to understand how that works. But I've had similar situations where I've not known what to do. I remember my wife and I, one time as missionaries in the Samoan Islands, we had some people that had come from California that were kind of a, well, to put it mildly, they were kind of a thorn in our side. And they caused a lot of problems for us. And one day I was just as early in the day, and I was praying. I was reading my Bible, and I was reading through the Psalms. And I said, Lord, I just don't know what to do about this. And I was reading through the Psalms. At that time, I was reading a psalm every day, which I still try to endeavor to do today. And I was in Psalm 38. And I read Psalm 38, verse 19, and I started laughing, and my wife's looking at me, and I said, oh, I got to read this to you. Psalm 38, 19 said, but mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. And I started laughing. I said, look, God knows what we're going through, because the name of the people that were giving us so much trouble was lively. And there it was, at a day that we were both, my wife and I were just feeling overwhelmed, I open up the scripture and it says, but mine enemies are lively. There's the name right there. And it's just, and I had to chuckle, because it was like God's reaching out saying, I hear you. I've not forgotten you. And look, here's something that'll encourage you in the Bible. So sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes it may be that he brings somebody across your path that you're just able to talk with, maybe a more mature believer, or perhaps somebody that had gone through something. I remember some friends of mine that lost a teenage daughter one time, and they were just devastated, as anybody would be. And they were at a church, I forget all the details, but they ran into somebody at the church who had gone through the exact same thing, and it lost like a teenage son or something like that. And it was somebody at the right time that they ran, that it just happened to run into. Well, God brought them across their path, and they were able to talk with them, and these people were able to go, show them what God had done in their life and encourage them. I know another guy who travels around the country, and in his testimony, he talks about how his wife committed suicide one day while him and his sons were at church, of all things. They came home, walked in, him and his sons, and found his wife had committed suicide. He was devastated. His sons were devastated. Later on, God introduced him to a woman who was widowed because she had come home and found that her husband had committed suicide.
Wow.
And God was able to take these two hurting individuals and bring them together. They ended up marrying later, and they both had traveled the same sort of path, and they had a bond that they were able to have beyond what most people would imagine, but it was God that brought them together and brought their path together to encourage them. So that's another thing that I would suggest is Christ is your Savior, and if you're sure of your salvation, there's time spent in the Word, and then ask God to bring across your path somebody that you can talk to. It doesn't have to be a pastor or a priest. It can just be a believer who's been perhaps through a similar situation that can just come alongside of you and say, you know what? I know what you're going through. I could talk to this guy that lost his daughter, but I can't say I know what you're going through. I've never been there. I've never walked that path. But these other people could. This guy who met this woman and both of their spouses had committed suicide. I can't identify and say I know what you're going through. But both of them were able to do that with each other and encourage one another. And so God has the ability to do that. And maybe that's the best thing I can tell you in this short period of time is just pray and ask God to bring across your path somebody who's been in a similar situation that can help you. And I hope you call back again, Jim. I know we're coming up on the break here, but I want to thank you for calling tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right. God bless. We'll be praying for you. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight on this last, it's not quite a half hour anymore, I guess, according to the clock here, the last, 26 and a half minutes or so of Easter Resurrection Sunday. But we're glad to be able to be on. I hope you had a great day today. Here in northeastern Ohio, I mean, it was an absolutely gorgeous day. I mean, the sun was shining and pleasant temperatures and daffodils just blooming up a storm. This is one of the exciting times. I born and raised in northeastern Ohio, and I spent time living in Colorado. I've spent time living in England, as in Great Britain. I spent time living in the in the Samoan Islands, which is down in the tropics below the equator near the international dateline. I've experienced a lot of different things in different places, but I always wind up back in northeastern Ohio. I love this, just love the change of the seasons. Yeah, somebody once said that in northeastern Ohio, God gave us just enough of each season to get tired of it. So a lot of times we can't complain too much about this past winter. We had a lot of rain, not much snow, not too bad, but boy, the daffodils just blooming up a storm. One of my favorite flowers in the spring. And then my favorite flowering bush, I think, is forsythia. When I was growing up, we always had this absolutely huge forsythia bush dominated the whole northeast corner of our house. It just seemed to envelop it, and always loved seeing the yellow flowers, and the forsythia is just starting to bloom around our area, and absolutely beautiful. Little green leaves are peeking out on the branches of some of the bushes. The red maples, you can see the red buds there where they're budding, and other trees starting to bloom, the willows just a little light green starting to show through, and it's just a great time of year to watch the changes in nature around us. And it's a great picture of the resurrection of Christ when you think about it. I'm just glad that God put Easter and the celebration of the resurrection of Christ in the springtime when we can see happening around us. If you're in the northern climate, you know, like here in northeastern Ohio, where everything just looks dead in the wintertime. Now, when you're down south, everything's green year-round, but in northeastern Ohio, everything's is brown and gray, unless it snows, then it's white. And that's not much of anything else, but when you see those little hints of green start to show up, and then those first little blooms, the crocuses, little yellow and orange and purple flowers starting to bloom, or even earlier little white snowdrops that bloom, and you see this, and it shows that life is returning, and it's just a great picture, thinking of the resurrection of Christ. But we are talking about that on the program today, and we have talked about a variety of things dealing with the word Easter, which is in your King James Bible in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, not as a mistake, but to distinguish the Christian Passover celebration, which celebrated and commemorated the resurrection of Christ, from the Jewish Passover, which of course commemorates the passing of the death angel over the houses where the people were sheltered under the blood of the Passover lamb that was slain. Of course, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, and his blood was shed. And if that blood's applied to the doorposts of your heart, your sins are forgiven, they're covered, and the wages of sin, which is death, well, guess what? That passes over you if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. So Jesus was our Passover lamb. So we talked a bit about some of those things there the idea of what happened. We were talking a little bit about the timing of the crucifixion. Clearly it happened before the Passover Sabbath, which likely began on Wednesday evening that week, that year. And then there would have been a day between the Passover Sabbath, which was a high day, as John records, distinct from the weekly Sabbath, which then would have started Friday when the sun set, and that would have ended at Saturday at sunset, beginning the first day of the week, Saturday night, according to the Jewish way of keeping track of the days of the week. And then Jesus, of course, would have been in the tomb in accordance to his prophecy that he said he would be in the tomb 3 days and three nights. You just can't get 3 days and three nights between Friday afternoon and Sunday morning. You know, that's in Matthew 12:38. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. If he was in the tomb less than three nights, he would have been marked as a false prophet, and we shouldn't pay attention to him. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday could be 3 days, but we only got Friday night, Sunday, and Saturday night. Where's the third night? But if Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, he would have been in the tomb, and Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, that's three nights, and in the tomb all day Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that's 3 days. So he'd been 3 days and three nights, just like he said that he would. And he also had a day between the high Sabbath of the Passover and the weekly Sabbath for the Jewish leaders to go to Pilate to demand that the stone be sealed, the grave be sealed, and a guard set, and also time for the women to go purchase spices and ointments and things to get ready to anoint the body of Christ after the weekly Sabbath. So at any rate, we talked about some of those things, not going through all of that again right now, but you can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find an article, as I said, Is Easter a Mistake? That's one article there. The other article is What Day Was Jesus Crucified On? And then the other article is The Stone Was Rolled Away Not to Let Jesus Out, But to Let Us In. So you can also listen to where a couple of years back I talked about Easter in Acts 12:4, and you can listen to that there as well. And then hopefully next day or two I'll get the first hour of the program tonight on, where we talked about that extensively as well. But in the meanwhile, If you want to give us a call tonight, our phone lines are open. You can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air tonight. Your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And barring any call right away here, I was actually wanting to touch on this idea of the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. And I put that together. I do an article for our church newsletter, our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is my home church. It's the church that I pastor. And somebody asked one time, are you an associate pastor, assistant pastor there or something? I said, no, I'm the pastor. We only have one pastor. It's me. We're a small church. And I put together the church newsletter and try to put one out each month, and I try to write an article dealing with something. And this April newsletter, I had an article, "The Stone Was Rolled Away Not to Let Jesus Out, But to Let Us In." And it springs from a message that I preached quite a number of years ago on the resurrection of Christ. And in the message and in the article, I mentioned about how my wife and I attended an Easter Passion play one time, which was probably one of the best, one of the most well-done church productions that I've ever seen. It was a pretty good-sized church, and they had a lot of talented people musically and also with acting and production and all of that sort of stuff. And they had obviously put a lot of time, effort, and prayer into it, and they had transformed the church auditorium into a tremendous set do this passion play, and they had several presentations of it, and my wife and I were invited by some people that went there to go see it, and it was very well done. And at the climactic scene, as the resurrection of Christ is approaching, they had the auditorium dark, and then they began flashing bright lights, so the darkness of the auditorium suddenly being pierced with bright flashes of light representing lightning. And then they had a kettle drum, which they began banging on, you know, and a rolling, you know, how the kettle drum can give that kind of rolling sort of sound that it makes. And they began drumming on that, and this rolling drumming to represent thunder. And then in the stage, which was dimly lit where the tomb was, all of a sudden the stone rolls dramatically, or, you know, aside, and they had a fog machine going, and they got this fogs pouring out all over the dim stage, and then a bright light spotlight shines out from behind the stone out of the tomb out into the auditorium, pointing toward the ceiling, and you can see this beam of brilliant light going through the fog, and then majestically the actor that was playing Jesus, now wearing a white robe, strides, you know, majestically, backlit by this spotlight. You see his silhouette striding majestically through the fog out of the tomb, representing the resurrection of Christ. And I have to tell you, it was one of the most moving scenes, except my wife and I looked at each other and said, it's not biblical. That's the only problem. It wasn't biblical. I say, wait a minute. How could that not be biblical? Isn't that what happened? Well, except maybe the fog machine. No, absolutely not. And that's why I wrote the article, "The Stone Was Rolled Away Not to Let Jesus Out, But to Let Us In." If you follow the Bible, and the reason we do this, it's not because we're trying to pick at people who don't believe the same way we do, is we want to be accurate in what we believe. There's a lot of skeptics out in the world that'll pick apart things. It's just like when we talk about what day was Jesus actually crucified on, and looking at the resurrection, 3 days and three nights. There are skeptics who will say, well, okay, how do you get the 3 days and three nights? I can see the 3 days, but where's the third night? And a lot of people say, oh, it really doesn't matter. Well, no, Jesus said specifically three nights. And according to the Bible, he has to be correct or he's a false prophet. So where's the third night? And a lot of people say, well, you know, you just God must not be leading you the way he's leading me, and they just don't want to talk about it or something. And it causes skeptics to reject the Bible, reject the gospel message. And so we talk about these things not just to be picky, but in order to answer the skeptics' objections to what the Bible says. Well, here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, there's a couple things we had to take away from this. This angel, and I've had the question asked, well, it says angel of the Lord, does that mean it's Jesus? I think in the context, it clearly shows that it's not Jesus, it's an angel sent from the Lord. It's an angel sent from God. And you notice Jesus is not inside the tomb rolling the stone away and striding majestically out. An angel descends from heaven and rolls the stone away. That's how the stone is rolled away, not by Jesus, but by an angel from heaven. And in the second place, when the stone is rolled away, the angel tells people that Jesus isn't here. So when the stone is rolled away, Jesus doesn't come walking out and thank the angel for rolling the stone away and present himself to the women. The angel says, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. The angel plainly says that Jesus isn't in the tomb. He's not here. For he is risen, which is past tense. He's already risen. Now, keep in mind, this is early Sunday morning. The sun had not yet risen. It was just beginning to rise, and in the dim light, and it's getting lighter by the moment. And they're invited, he says, the angel says, come see the place where the Lord lay. He was here, but he's not here, for he is risen. Sometime before the women arrived at the tomb early Sunday morning, Jesus was already gone before the stone was ever rolled away. Now, maybe you were at a church that had an Easter sunrise service. A lot of churches do that, and they do that because they're commemorating Jesus rising at sunrise. Well, guess what? The Bible never says he rose at sunrise. At sunrise, the angel comes down, rolls the stone away, and says, Jesus isn't here anymore. He's already risen. So Jesus rose before sunrise. Now, remember, we have to remember that the way that the Jews counted the days of the week, even though it's Sunday morning and it's the first day of the week, when did the first day of the week start? It did not start at midnight like it would for us. It started at sunset on Saturday evening. So when the sun set on Saturday evening, it did not matter that it's still Saturday. It is now the first day of the week. The first day of the week lasted from sunset on Saturday until sunset on Sunday. When the sun set on Sunday, it became the second day of the week. The second day of the week lasted from sunset on Sunday until sunset on Monday. Say, well, why did they do that? Well, it's simple. Back in Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about the creation of the earth, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. Evening and morning. Therefore, the Jews count the days of the week as from sunset until sunset. The evening, meaning the sun has set, and then through the night, and the morning means the sun comes up, and we have all the day before the sun sets again. And so that's why they did that. So Jesus did not roll the tomb away from inside the tomb with or without a fog machine going. The angel descended. Jesus is already gone, and they're invited to look in. Over in And again, in Matthew's account, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, this phrase, in the end of the Sabbath, doesn't mean it was the end of the Sabbath day. It means after the Sabbath. It's a colloquial phrase, which basically means after the Sabbath, which is exactly how Mark puts it in his gospel, where he says in Mark 16 and verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed. And so it's obviously the same thing. Mark also continues saying, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And John adds in John chapter 20 and verse 1, it was yet dark when they arrived. And so when they arrived, it was yet dark. So as they come there to anoint the body of Jesus with the spices and ointments and things that they had brought, Mark mentions in Mark 16, verse 3, they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? So this was a concern for them. Remember, this door, the stone was not just a small stone. You know, a lot of people get entombed in these, little mausoleum-type things, and maybe you've seen them where they have a series of them, and they have a plaque across the front, you know, a panel, and they unbolt the thing, and they open it up, and they slide the casket in there, and then when everything's in and in place, they put the plaque back on, and they have the name of the person that's been entombed there, and they do that sort of thing. Well, in this case, you had a large stone, and the body was rolled in and placed inside. There was an area where the body was placed, and when the body was in there, they rolled this stone in place, and there would be like a little low trench or something, shallow trench, that the stone would kind of drop into to keep it from rolling away on its own, keep it secure. And in order to remove the stone, the women knew that they were going to need somebody to come there and help them, because it would have been too heavy for them to move on their own. And they may not have been aware of the seal that was put on the stone, because after the Sabbath of the Passover was done, then the leaders of the Jews went to Pilate, and they demanded that he allow them to seal the tomb and set a guard. And so they did that, and they probably put a mortar around the edge, and then they had some ropes or cords that crossed the tomb, and likely put some kind of a clay or wax seal there. And then they would have had the signet ring, perhaps of Pilate or maybe the high priest or somebody, that would have been pressed into the wax or the clay. And so in order to open the tomb, this would have prevented even the soldiers from rolling the tomb, the stone away, to look inside, because in order to do that, they would have had to break the seal, and there would have been evidence that the seal was broken. I remember when I was in the Air Force, and I would package up classified documents to send out via the courier, and we had to put seals on it so that when it arrived at its destination, people would know that it had not been looked at. If the seal was broken, they would know that somebody looked in it that wasn't supposed to, and they'd have questions asked. And when we got stuff, there'd be seals on it to let us know that it hadn't been opened since it was packaged. And so the seal is there to make sure nobody gets in. And they're wondering who's going to roll the seal away. And, of course, when they get there, they find there's a group of soldiers guarding the tomb, and they may or may not yet be aware that it's sealed and has the mortar and the seal on it. But before they can do anything, down comes an angel sent from God in heaven, and it shocks the soldiers so much that they literally pass out from fright. And the women nearly faint, but they don't. Interesting that the women don't faint, the soldiers do. The angel addresses them and says, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And so when they arrived there, the angel, God sent the angel to open the stone, the tomb, to do something the women couldn't have done. The soldiers would not have done it for them or allowed anybody else to do it, and the women did not have the capability of doing it themselves. Therefore, God did what they couldn't do, and he opened the tomb not to let Jesus out, because when the tomb was open, it was empty. The angel said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Said, he's not here. He's risen. He was already gone. When Jesus rose in the resurrection, he passed through the stone that was sealing the tomb. See, well, how could he just pass through a solid object? Well, later on that night, he passed through the doors where the disciples were gathered and the doors were locked. They were feared of their lives themselves, and he passes through the doors and he comes in. The angel tells the women to go and tell the others, and they go and they tell the others. And, of course, we have Peter and John run to the tomb, and when they get there, they look in as well, and the angel again says to them in John chapter 2, starting in verse 3, Peter therefore went, and the other disciple, that's John, came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and come first to the sepulcher, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And so here it is. Jesus had told them that he was going to be crucified, and that he was going to be buried, and that he would raise again. And they didn't understand it. They didn't fully understand what was going on. But guess what? When they saw the evidence of the risen Savior, the Bible says they saw and believed. And that sums up the whole reason the stone was rolled away. The Bible says John saw and believed because the stone was rolled away. Peter, John, and the women were able to see that the tomb was empty and that Jesus had risen from the dead just as he had said that he would. And because of their testimony, many others would also know that the tomb was empty and that Jesus has risen from the dead and that Jesus is not dead but risen. And because of that, millions of lost sinners have passed from death unto life believing the gospel message. I hope you have too. And celebrate the resurrection of Christ this day and always. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.